The U.S. DOT suspends procedures to get more airlifts to Haiti. NBAA launches a registry for business aircraft owners who can help. And Lopresti gets a 9-month breather on its rent payments. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Aerocast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, January 18th, 2009. The U.S. Department of Transportation has made a few changes in procedures to allow expediting aid to earthquake-stricken Haiti. The island's government accepted the FAA's offer to send a 7-member team to work with the Haitians and Department of Defense combat controllers to improve the flow of air traffic. DOT has also granted 2 exemptions from current aviation restrictions, expanding the pool of available aircraft by making them easier to charter. The first exemption grants authority to General Services Administration-approved air charter brokers to act as indirect air carriers. This helps streamline the ability of the U.S. government to procure charter air services on short notice. The second authorizes a class of carriers that operate large aircraft in private carriage, allowing them to evacuate people and bring in personnel and supplies, augmenting the commercial airlines. The National Business Aviation Association and its president, Ed Bolin, have sent a letter to members urging them to make business aircraft available for relief missions to Haiti. The country's 2 major commercial airports were compromised by last week's earthquake, but smaller planes are able to access smaller airports. The website www.nbaa.org/Haiti has the latest available information of interest to those who would make their aircraft available and provides for online registry of NBAA member aircraft and other assets available. Bolin closes his letter by saying, quote, "In the coming days, NBAA will keep members advised of the latest developments related to the earthquake. We know that the business aviation community will continue to answer the call for help, and we will do all we can to support the industry's work to help those in crisis," unquote. The city council in Sebastian, Florida, has voted to defer lease payments on facilities rented by Lopresti Aviation for 9 months. Company President Kurt Lopresti told TC Palm, quote, "We hit bottom about 6 months ago and are struggling like everybody else," unquote. He adds the company has returned its primary focus to aftermarket sales for aircraft. He estimates it would take about 9 months to bring sales back to previous levels. The council's action defers but does not forgive payments of about $3,700 a month until November. The company has a 15-year lease on a $1.4 million hangar and some office space at Sebastian Municipal Airport. Mayor Richard Gilmore voted against the lease deferral, noting that city employees have been furloughed to balance the city's budget. Following reports of tension on the board of Angel Flight Northeast, the group is reorganizing its board. According to AFNE president and co-founder Lawrence Camerlin, the reorganization includes the re-election of co-founder, former board member, and chairman Eugene Loubière as chairman, a post in which he served from 1998 till 2005. Former board member and treasurer James Sear will resume those 2 roles, and the election of additional board members is pending. There's been no official confirmation on the nature of the reported turbulence, which is said to have prompted the shuffle. Up next on ANN, Shell introduces a new oil just for 2-strokes. The Air Mule will make vertical landings possible in tight urban areas, and the FAA schedules an ILS check at the new Beaches International. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for January 18th. I'm Paul Plack. Shell Aviation says it will introduce the first lubricant developed especially for 2-stroke aviation engines at the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo. The show opens this Thursday in Sebring, Florida. Shell says its aviation research and development specialists in both Europe and the U.S. have worked closely with major engine manufacturers to develop the product, which is compatible with both premix and oil injection. Lockwood Aviation Repair, which promotes itself as an official distributor of the largest inventory of Rotax engine parts in the U.S., has tested AeroShell Oil Sport Plus 2 under a variety of severe conditions. Phil Lockwood, president, commented, quote, I was very impressed with Shell's commitment to develop the best possible two-stroke oil engineered and tested specifically for this demanding application. We are lucky to have their quality control behind this very specialized two-stroke oil and can be confident they will support any advances to this dedicated formula with further testing, unquote. Shell products are the only ones endorsed by Rotax for its two- and four-stroke aviation engines. Israel's Urban Aeronautics is testing an unusual unmanned aerial vehicle that looks a little bit like a salvaged helicopter fuselage with no rotors. The Air Mule is a vertical takeoff and landing, cargo and medevac prototype that uses ducted fans and a four-channel fly-by-wire control system for three-axis auto-stabilization. The Air Mule is powered by a Turbomeca Ariel 1 730-horsepower turboshaft and has made tethered test flights about 2 feet off the ground, which is said to be just outside of its ground effect. The company says the flights have confirmed calculations of power required for hover, and the next step is to remove the tethers and see how well the computer can hold both lateral position and height above ground using its inertial, GPS, and laser altimeter inputs. Urban Aeronautics says the rotorless, wingless craft will be well-suited to operations in highly obstructed areas, like cities, and it's expected to hold position in winds of up to 50 knots. Infrastructure management company Kellogg Brown & Root reports the FAA will fly test approaches tomorrow to fine-tune the ILS for the new 10,000-foot runway under construction at Northwest Florida Beaches International Airport near Panama City in the Florida Panhandle. The opening is scheduled for May 23rd. Jeff Dealey, airport relocation manager for KBR, told the Panama City News Herald, quote, this is a major milestone for the project, and it's all coming together right on schedule, unquote. Along with regularly scheduled service by Southwest Airlines, the airport hopes to attract nonstop charter flights from Europe to Florida's northern Gulf Coast. Still ahead, an emergency AD is issued for an Augusta Westland Hilo. The ownership of Delta Connection Academy and AeroSim are reorganized. And survivors mark a year since the miracle on the Hudson. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, January 18th. I'm Paul Platt. The FAA has released an emergency airworthiness directive based on an issue discovered by European authorities affecting the Augusta Westland A109K2 helicopter. The original European notice states that two of the three installed main rotor scissor fitting assembly fixing bolts on one machine had cracked in flight. The manufacturer determined the cause was inadequate instructions for installing the bolts. Failure of a bolt could result in a loss of control of the helicopter. Find more details and the recommended fix in the text version of this story, dated January 15th, at aero-news.net. Flight Training Acquisitions announced last week it has acquired Delta Connection Academy, Incorporated, and AeroSim Technologies, Incorporated. Flight Training Acquisitions was formed by Lincolnshire Management, GTI Group, Delta Airlines, and the management of both acquired businesses for the sole purpose of acquiring them. They say their goal is to position the company for future growth in the areas of pilot provisioning, flight training, and the development and marketing of simulation-based products. The combined company projects about $40 million in sales in 2010. Britain's Prince William was awarded his flying badge by his father, Prince Charles, in ceremonies at RAF Shawbury in Shropshire on Friday. The person second in line to the British throne is now one step closer to becoming an RAF search and rescue pilot. Prince William, who is known as Flight Lieutenant Wales, has been in training for 12 months and just completed the advanced helicopter course. France's AFP News reports that his next station is RAF Valley on Anglesey, North Wales, where he'll train in Sea King helicopters. Both his father, Prince Charles, and his uncle, the Duke of York, have flown helicopters for the RAF. His uncle saw service during the Falklands War. And finally, time seems to fly sometimes. It was a year Friday since U.S. Airways Flight 1549 splashed down on the Hudson River after a flock of Canada geese struck the plane as it was climbing out. At exactly 3:31 p.m., a group of passengers and their rescuers gathered on a New York Waterways ferry boat to hoist a toast to their good fortune a year ago. The company says it donated use of the boat and its terminal for the event. In the year since the ditching, some passengers have said they've had recurring nightmares, anxiety attacks, or other residual effects from that traumatic day. But it was also clear that some look back on the day with a sense of humor. The Washington Post reports one passenger convinced a vodka distiller to provide some bottles of Grey Goose for the toast. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves tells us how scenario-based training should include solo cross-country flights. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.